Do you know who your father is? Most of us do, the vast majority, but there is a group that doesn't have a clue. Their biological fathers were sperm donors, and until fairly recently, changes to the law, sperm donors could be anonymous. There's now a trend toward greater disclosure, but it's cold comfort to those conceived 2 decades ago. Now, in America, faced with this kind of secrecy, one mother, Wendy Kramer, decided to set up a website called the Donor Sibling Registry. It enables donor-conceived children to make contact with their half-siblings, other children conceived by using the same donor. Wendy Kramer's in Brisbane to talk to the Fertility Society Conference, and she joins me now. Welcome to Life Matters.
Thank you so much.
Now, you have an 18-year-old son, Ryan, conceived by donor. That's what got you started, really, isn't it?
Yes, Ryan is a donor-conceived person, and when he was at a very young age, he began to ask questions. He wanted to know who his biological father was, and if he couldn't know that, then he wanted to know who his half-siblings were.
What has Ryan now found out about his half-siblings and his biological father, come to that?
The reason we started the site is because Ryan knew most likely he would never get to meet his biological father. So when we found out that he did indeed have probably many half-siblings out there, he right away wanted to meet them because at least then he could see that missing part of himself in another person. And so far he knows of 6 half-sisters, only one that he's had the chance to meet. And perhaps in the future we'll get to meet a few more of them. But meeting the one was very, very exciting for him.
I'll bet. You decided to be very open with Ryan from an early age about his donor conception. Why did you decide?
Yeah.
Because a lot of people don't do this, don't they? They decide that they're not telling their children.
Right. And we at the Donor Sibling Registry are huge proponents for truth and honesty and a child's right to know. I think as a society, we've come so far to know that family secrets can be very toxic. I do hear from a lot of people who find out by mistake later on whose parents weren't honest with them, and it can be very damaging, and they can feel a great sense of betrayal. So we're huge proponents of telling the truth and being honest, and I think it's a person's birthright to know the methodology of their conception.
Ryan ran into this himself, didn't he, when he was trying to track down half-siblings?
Exactly. The first 2 half-siblings, the mother saw my son on television, recognized him just by looking at his face. She knew that her daughters were his half-sisters. And after a night of exciting emails between Ryan and this woman, the next morning she wrote me and said, I must tell you, my husband and I have not told our daughters they're donor conceived, and we have no plans of doing so. And this was devastating to my son, knowing that he had 2 half-sisters out there that they could never know he existed, and he most likely would never get to meet them. So this was very difficult.
Yes, I'll bet. I'll bet, especially because, you know, he's 18, and identity, you're kind of forging your own identity through your adolescence, and you want to connect with people who are kind of related to you.
Yes, I think, especially for adolescents, part of defining who you're going to be as a young adult and as an adult is knowing where you come from. That's all a part of the mix, and I think, you know, it's an innate human urge to just want to know where you come from.
Now, 18 years ago when you had Ryan, did you consider that he might want to meet his donor father in the same way that adopted children seek out their biological parents?
Not really. And here's another part of the issue is that my ex-husband and I were never counseled, we were never educated, and I think the industry really needs to step up here and counsel the parents, the recipients, as well as the donors at the front door so that we know exactly what we're getting into. We're aware of the potential future curiosities of the children. For donors, they need to be made aware that they could have 1 kid, 5 kids, 100 children that someday might want to know who they are.
Not only weren't you counseled, but I understand it was certainly common practice at the time. I don't know if things have improved, that clinics essentially would advise people just to keep it all secret.
I believe that many of them still do, as 90% of heterosexual couples do not tell their children they're donor conceived. Obviously, that's a little bit different for single moms and lesbian moms, because there's obviously not a dad in the house. But I do believe that most couples still, you know, there's a shame around infertility, unfortunately. And I think a lot of these parents, it's just a fear-based decision to not tell the children. They're afraid that the child won't look at the dad as dad anymore. They're afraid of the non-biological father is afraid of not giving the child that biological connection that a stranger can give them.
On Life Matters today, my guest is Wendy Kramer, who's founder of the Donor Sibling Registry, which is a website that she set up, and we're talking about that now. Wendy, over 20,000 people have used the website. How do they use it, given that most have either no information or only the most general information about their donor father?
Right. For most people that were born after the late 1980s, they do have the luxury of knowing which sperm bank, clinic, or facility that the sperm was purchased at, along with a donor number. So that makes it very easy. We've had almost 5,900 people match up on the site, and that's half sibling to half sibling, as well as donor to donor offspring. For the people born before the late 1980s, it's a bit more difficult. They just have to put down any of the information that they know. As far as, you know, my mother went to a clinic on Park Avenue in 1965. I think my donor was a medical student with blue eyes. You know, it might be
as vague as that.
And then if someone else comes to the site and says, now, wait a minute, my mom went to a doctor on Park Avenue also in 1965, then what they can do is put in for DNA testing. And we've had people match up on our website and also locate their donors from just swabbing their cheek and sending their DNA into the mix.
And I understand some donors are now using the website. What are they doing?
Well, that was very surprising to us, because what we had always been told is the donors were promised anonymity. And we've got more than 900 egg and sperm donors on our website. And what I hear from them is promised anonymity. We were never given any choice. And at times, these people are just as curious as the kids are. And another major issue here is updating medical information and genetic information. So a lot of times, you know, people just want to make sure, they feel it's ethically and morally correct to update their medical information and share important medical, you know, events with them or their immediate family with their genetic family.
Wendy, laws have changed in Australia. Sperm donors can no longer be anonymous. What about in your country?
Oh, you guys are way ahead of us. We, unfortunately, you know, I think before you can change the law, you have to ask the question publicly, what is in the best interest of the child being born? And because the infertility industry is such a huge business, it's big, big money in the U.S., and the American Society of Reproductive Medicine, sort of the governing body of the sperm banks, they have lobbyists in Washington. So those of us who are trying to fight to have the industry be more regulated, more accountable, to keep accurate record keeping, we keep hitting a brick wall because this is such a big money business.
But it hasn't been all positive here. I mean, one of the effects of removing that anonymity has been a fall in the number of men willing to be donors. And this must be a concern if more people are facing infertility.
Yes, and that's what I hear too. The sperm banks, that's the one thing that they come back with, is that there'll be a decrease in donors. But what I think is, you know, whose rights trump who here? Because there'd be an increase. Whose needs are being served? So far, what I see is the industry serving the needs of the parents because they want to get pregnant, the needs of the donors to remain anonymous, and the needs of the sperm bank, which is to make money. Not in any of these decisions going forward have I seen the needs of the children being born put first and foremost. And I think we do need to look at that. And also, as far as the decrease of donors, maybe we would get different donors. Right now, they're appealing to these college kids the college kids are not being educated. They're not being counseled. They have no idea that this is not just a transaction with a sperm bank. This is they're helping to create families and potentially many, many children that someday may come knocking at their door.
Actually, that is something that I wanted to ask you about. You've certainly heard about cases in your country where the same man has fathered dozens and dozens of children.
Right. We have the largest group on the donor sibling registry. At last count, there's 105 children born from the one donor. Exactly. We have another donor who actually is our bravest donor on the website who is signed up on the DSR, and he has to date, and this number goes up every month, he has 53 children all under the age of four.
Right.
So nobody's keeping track that the sperm banks continue to sell the sperm. And, you know, to know, I had a sperm bank owner say to me, a sperm bank director say, I don't know what the big deal is. So what if they have 100 children? And to me, that shows the huge disconnect between the families that they're helping to create and their own self-serving needs as far as just to make money.
And the other thing that occurs, I know this is an unlikely prospect, but, you know, in 20 years' time, those kids all under four are going to be in their early 20s and they might meet one another, you know, and fall for one another.
Absolutely. That's always a possibility, especially given the fact that 90% of the heterosexual couples don't tell their children. So at least if you tell your children the truth, there is, you know, like my son knows if he ever meets another, you know, a girl that he's dating and he knows she's donor conceived, of course they swap donor numbers. But for the kids who don't know they're donor conceived, you know, yes, it could be problematic.
Attitudes are changing, certainly to infertility, and it's not uncommon to seek IVF treatment or other associated ART treatment. Will that make sperm and egg donation a more open process? Get rid of the secrecy, I guess.
I hope so. And that's that's what we're working so hard for, is to get rid of the shame that's associated with infertility and the secrecy. And, I mean, privacy is okay, and there's a difference between secrecy and privacy, and we absolutely respect people's privacy. On our website, it's mutual consent contact only. Those who do not wish to make a connection don't. But as far as the secrecy implies shame. And I know for me, I never wanted any part of my son, I didn't want him to feel ashamed of any part of himself. And so he was told at a very, very young age, as soon as he asked me when he was two, that he was donor conceived, and it was just a part of who he was, and certainly nothing to be ashamed of. And at times when he was very young, he was very proud of the fact that, you know, he was special in that way.
Wendy, thank you very much for joining us today. That's Wendy Kramer, founder of the Donor Sibling Registry. We'll link to that on our website. We'll also link to a site that explains the legal situation in Australia, which is different in different states and territories, although I have to tell you, most jurisdictions don't have specific laws guaranteeing any right to any information. You'll find those links at abc.net.au/rn/lifematters. Also welcome your perspective on this. You may have some personal experience. You may be the mother of a donor-conceived child. You may be a donor-conceived child, and you may know all about it. Get in touch via the website or give us a call on 02833 1430.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.